your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Terry Graves and Matt Kaplan back here at Binghamton's Alumni Stadium Class C Championship game for Section 4, being led at this point 20-0 by the Waverly Wolverines. We have been talking football with Pat Newell. Pat Newell of the Norwich Evening Sun. Pat, I've got to say one thing, and I actually want to say two things. I made the remark to Matt, saying, boy, I'll bet the boys in Section 4 are glad they're not Section 3. And the first thing that I want to talk about is just to simply say, last week we pretty much dedicated our broadcast to the Barden kid who was played for Phoenix and was very tragically hurt in a game against Homer and passed away. And that just rattled, I'm certain, everybody in all of Section 3. It certainly impacted some of us here in Section 4. The other thing is the fall-to-all that's going on in Scaniatlas, where a coach, and it may not very well be the head coach, a coach, they say, recruited a player, and that's a major no-no. I'm not saying it isn't done in other places. I don't know what caused it. I don't know if somebody was highly offended, if it was a sort of brag about situation. There was something up there that sort of got everybody going. And the bottom line was the head coach, who was a very well-known football player, and Tim Green, ended up resigning. And they were allowed to play the Section 3 Class C championship game, but then the Scaniatlas, I think they're Lakers, were not allowed to go on and play in the in this week's game. This time it's, I want to say, Notre Dame against Herkimer, I think, right?
Yeah, Utica.
Utica-Notre Dame against Herkimer.
They beat Utica last week. I think it was 49-26. And it looked like Scaniatlas was going to play.
Well, Notre Dame, Scaniatlas beat Notre Dame.
Yes.
But now Notre Dame will be going on today. And I think that started at 11 o'clock this morning. And that game was against Herkimer.
Correct.
Now, these teams go on. Next week they'll play the regional, which is the Syracuse area against the Southern Tier. And we made mention before that these games are going to be down here.
Right.
And then next week when they play the western part of New York State, they'll all be up at East Syracuse Manoa. Do you know anything about that facility? I have not been there.
I can ask you real quick. My sister Peg is a teacher there.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But it's high school English.
I'm assuming it's a turf field and
yeah,
probably
they
a
do.
Fine
they have,
facility.
They have a nice facility there. It's probably just like this field turf.
And it is. And then the States this year, as they have been for the last few years, are going to be at that funny-looking place on the campus of Syracuse University.
Correct, yep. ACC-bound carrier dome.
Yeah. Ooh, you have to get them in. So, anyway, what's the most exciting thing for the Norwich Evening Sun for the next few days?
Well, this weekend we had three championship games, and I was talking with my photographer, Mr. Frank Stuzielli, how unusual that seems. So we should have a blockbuster Monday morning paper.
Now, the thing of it is, you and I both laugh from time to time because Frank does like to set up photos.
Yeah.
He probably can't set up too many of them in a championship
football
game.
Yeah, it's hard to configure an action shot in this type of situation. But if it was possible, he would do it.
Frank is one of our favorite guys, and we've both known him for millions and millions of years. Thank you very much, Mr. Newell. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Harry.
Please stop by again anytime. So this is one of those days, folks, when we have the opportunity to talk football with one of our favorite members of the media, in this case, Pat Newell of the Norwich Evening Sun. Today's game is being brought to you by the fine folks at Nathaniel Green's Pub, by Strenker Machine Shop, and also Gray and Sons Insurance, three of the fine people along the line who helped make these Green High School Trojan football broadcasts possible. Hello there, Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah. Hello there, Mr. Graves.
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
Oh, it's been way too long.
Well, let me do one more thing while I'm mentioning members of the media who are here. I want to thank very publicly Roger Neal and the folks at WNBF in Binghamton, because there are certain courtesies that we do in the broadcast media for each other, and we certainly have to appreciate all of the things that they did. They did some kindnesses to us this time, and we very, very, very much appreciate it. So, with that, we have the meetings of the co-captains out on the field.
Yeah, and you know what, Harry, I'm thinking right off the bat, Green needs to get their offense going, and they really need to get on their high horse, maybe try something different, maybe try to pass the ball a little bit, maybe run some plays that they haven't ran before. But all in all, what they're doing just doesn't really seem to work.
It hasn't worked so far.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they won't. But here again, you always have to remember, any sports event, pretty much like life, is an evolution. You have to be able to evolve and adjust.
Yeah, and you have to be able to adapt to what's going on. But for Green right now, they're doing a lot of things that I like. They're playing really hard. They're running really, really hard, which is great. But the problem is that Waverly, their defense is just doing such a great job up front with their D-line and their linebackers. And when Green tries to pass it, their defensive backs are all in coverage. I mean, it's tough. You can play as well as you are, or you can be as good as you are, but if you're playing against, you know, a defense that is just playing as well as Waverly, it's tough to look attractive.
And the offense hasn't been doing too bad either. For those of you who may have just joined us, the Green Trojans saw the Waverly Wolverines get on the board on a 66-yard pass play to Ryan Hewitt at 7:04 of the first period. Then there was a six-yard run by Dylan Gutierrez. That made it 12-0. That came at about 2 minutes remaining in the first period. Then there was a whole lot of push and shove, and it stayed at 12-0 for a long time. And then with 5:32 left in the second period of play, another long pass to Hewitt. This time, 82 yards the entire pass play, made it an 18-0 game. And then the point after attempt, also a pass play to Hewitt, and 20-0 is where we are. So the combination of Zach Cooney and Ryan Hewitt, what a great thing that has been so far. So it is going to be the Green Trojans receiving the football, and back there to grab it down at about the 20-yard line. It is going to be number 10, that's Keegan Sierwinski. Sierwinski going to battle his way up for about a 10-yard gain, as he will be just inches high of the 30-yard line.
And also aptly noted on the number one play of the second half, tackled by number one, Gabe Gates, the 5'4" senior. But, man, he hit him and he drove him right back.
Boy, you had to work for that transition. 11:53 on the clock, period number three. Ball snapped and brought back down. Let's see, it's going to be carried in there by Keegan Sierwinski again. Sierwinski runs into a whole bunch of white shirts as he gets across the line of scrimmage. He'll gain about 5 yards on that play, but a whole lot of push and shove at the 38-yard line will stop him there.
Yeah, that was a great gain. That's exactly what Green needs to do coming out of the second half. Just chug, chug, chug along and eat up those yards. This is a great momentum starter for the Green offense.
So they have a man split out to the left side. The ball is going to be kept on the ground, as it's going to be no gain on that play, as the Waverly defense read everything perfectly. The ball carried in there that time by the fullback, who will get back to the line of scrimmage and not much farther, maybe pick up a yard at most.
Yeah, but he hit that hole real hard. Just there were more Waverly players than there were Green players. But something very interesting that I've noticed that Green does throughout the day is that when they hit a hole, it almost looks like a domino effect of falling football players on the field.
Brent Ramsey split out to the near side this time. Long count in there by Joe Beckwith. Beckwith will keep it on the ground and go to Sierwinski again. And Sierwinski going to be very close to first down territory. There's the call. It is first down for the Green Trojans as they keep their drive alive.
Yeah, and it looks like Sierwinski almost got stopped right at the line of scrimmage, but he kept his feet chugging and chugging and chugging along and managed to get the first down.
This is the first of a triple header. Games at noon, 3 and 6. It's going to be Walton against Tioga coming up at 3 o'clock. And then the big game coming up this evening. We'll tell you more about that later. Joe Beckwith has his team lined up. Snap comes back to him. He's going to keep the ball on the ground. And they'll go in this time to Carlin. And Carlin, that's going to be Sierwinski. And Sierwinski gets across midfield, inches into Wolverine territory.
And sometimes all you need to tell your kids at halftime is, come on, kids, let's pick it up. We know what we need to do. We know what we can do. Let's just play a little bit more intensity and see what happens.
Pick up about 7 that time. We've made mention of the fact before, Keegan Sierwinski wears number 10. Jeff Carlin wears number 16. They are both power running backs for the Green Trojans. Long count. Beckwith going to go on the ground again to Sierwinski. Sierwinski going to be very, very close to first down territory. He gets across to the 40, we'll call it 7. And then we'll see where the measurement goes. No, now three officials all signal at the same time. First down, Trojans.
Yeah, that, like what you said, three officials at the same time. It's very interesting. Usually one just says first down, but in case you didn't get it.
They were like fish schooling, and they were all going in the same direction. Snap goes back to Beckwith. He's going to keep the ball on the ground as they'll go in there. I don't want to say Carlin that time. I think I saw a 6. And no gain on the play regardless as they'll get up for maybe a 1-yard pickup at most.
And that was a great tackle by John Duval. Duval just crawled in there and made a great tackle on that play.
You know, it's the second time that I've used his name today, and I honestly, this is one of those terrible things. I don't remember seeing him last week. I don't think we said his name at all. Beckwith ready to go. Long count. He's standing right on the chalk mark at the 50-yard line. He whips around, hands the ball off to Sierwinski. Sierwinski will not get back to the line of scrimmage as he's going to be stopped back at the 47 in Wolverine territory, and it will bring up a third and about 10.
And that was terrific, absolutely terrific penetration by Jeff Mastrantono, the 5'10", 155-pound senior, but he was doing a great job getting in the backfield, lifted his guy up, fireman carry to the ground, a little bit excessive, but a tackle nonetheless.
Lane Whitaker bringing the play in. He stays in there. Splits off on the near side this time. Long count. Beckwith turns around, pitches that ball out to Carlin. Carlin this time tries left. He will get across the 45, runs out of bounds at about the 40-yard line. We'll have to see exactly where he steps out. He probably is, he's not going to be quite at the first down mark. He had to get up to about the 37, and it looks like he's gotten to the
37 and a third.
Yeah, doesn't need much. 7:49 showing on the clock. Period number 3. This game being brought to you in part by G&O Auto Repair and G&O Auto Supply. Also, the fine folks at the Neville Law Offices. Two more backers of the Green Trojans. Ball kept on the ground. Beckwith. And this time it's going to be loose and bounding all over the place. Everybody grabs it. Finally coming up with the football. It's going to be number 44 for the Waverly Wolverines. That is Anthony Girolamo. Girolamo picked it up, but there was no opportunity for him to run as he was going to be stopped right there. Actually, they'd already called it dead. Nobody really stopped him.
Right. Right, but I mean, that was just one of those bouncing balls plays. I mean, you got to hold on to the football, but it's tough when you got a whole lot of defensemen trying to bite at it.
But so still, it will be the Green Trojans who will go on defense now. So Cooney comes in from the sidelines. He's gotten the word from the coaches, and he's ready to go. back in the shotgun. This time he will pass it out on the flat, on the right side, as he goes to Jeff Mastrantuno. Mastrantuno is going to still be up as he crosses midfield, gets across the 40, down at the 38-yard line before he's going to be pushed out of bounds. Now I guess they're going to say he stepped out on the other side of the 40, just high of the 40 at the 42. But regardless, it is still a first down for the Waverly Wolverines.
And I'd say about 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, he laid a great fake on his defender. He thought he was going left, but he's like, no, I'm going right, and got a really great gain on that play.
You're listening to football on a Saturday afternoon. Class C playoff action. Harry Graves and Matt Kaplan here on your station for Sports WCDO. So the Wolverines, it is going to be a handoff this time that will go in there to number 28. That is going to be Nick Pusalo. Pusalo doesn't get any running room as he is going to be met almost immediately at the line of scrimmage, and he might even lose a few feet on that play.
Yeah, that was the Green defense stepping up, and they knew it was coming.
So we have 7:06 showing on the clock, period number 3. For those of you just joining us, Waverly leading 20-0 over the Green Trojans. Zach Cooney, the junior quarterback, is going to keep it on the ground as he goes to one of his power running backs, number 24. That is Dylan Gutierrez, the junior, 6'7", 175 pounds, manages to get a little bit of running room, get about 4 yards on that play.
And what I really love about these Waverly offensive sets is that one time they'll come out in a shotgun with one running back and four wide receivers, and then a time like this, they'll come out in a under center, and they'll have three running backs. So it's really tough to prepare for some of these multiple set offenses.
I think that's called dazzle them with the confusion or whatever. I don't remember.
Well said.
There's a play to that, too. Dropping back, it is going to be Cooney off on the right side this time. He finds out there number 5. That is going to be Austin Bostwick. Bostwick, the junior, 5'8", 140 pounds, picks up a first down for the Wolverines.
Yeah, and Bostwick has been rather quiet today. I remember calling his name a lot last week. But it doesn't really matter if your name gets called a lot, as long as it gets called in the right situation.
And as long as you keep doing your job accurately. 5:55, period number 3. So it is going to be another... It is so deceiving because we're in where it's not anywhere near as cold as it is for the guys out on the bench. The ball is going to be carried in there this time by Cooney. He runs to his left. He finds a little bit of running room. He will get down inside the 25 to the 21-yard line. Pick up on that play of a long 3.
Yeah, and I really like what they're trying to do, too, offensively. They're trying to do a few read plays right now. They're trying to read the defensive ends, read the linebackers, see where they're coming, and then make decisions on whom to hand off to.
Remember, Cooney comes back again next year. So does Gutierrez. So does Dylan Wright. A lot of juniors. Austin Bostwick. So a number of the members of that backfield are back again. One of the men who will not be back again next year is senior Jeff Mastrantuno. Jeff Mastrantuno. He goes off and running this time, but will not figure in the play as the pass from Cooney is going to be batted away.
And that was batted away by number 16, Jeff Carlin. He's a senior. He's not coming back. So he's playing with all of his might today.
Inside 5 minutes, period number 3. Isaiah Webb's coming out of the ball game for the Green Trojans. Cooney now up tight. He takes the ball, spins around, and hands it right into the gut of the man coming through. That is going to be number 28, and we'll have to pick up his number for him. That is Nick Pusalo. Pusalo this time has his biggest gain of the day as he'll get the first down for the Wolverines and gets down inside the 10-yard line to about the 8.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that was one of those three running back sets that I was talking about earlier. But what's cool, what they did is that they had a three running back set and they had that jet sweep motion. So you have no idea who they're going to give the ball off to. You have no idea where it's going. You have to follow the man going in motion, but you just don't know what's going
to
happen.
Ryan Hewitt splits off to the right side. The ball will be kept on the ground as they're going to have it in there. Number 44 doing the running. And if I remember right, that is going to be Anthony Girolamo. We mentioned before we hadn't seen him at all last week, never mentioned his name, but he is chewing it up today. So we have now, let's see, the ball down to about the 6-yard line, 6.5 perhaps, short gain on that play. Again, Hewitt going to split to the right side. Up tight is going to be Cooney. He will go to the man carrying the football. Excuse me. It is going to be number 24, Danny Gutierrez, who tries to block some people out of the way. And Cooney will carry the football. Short yardage, maybe a yard at most. The ball right to the marker of the 5-yard line.
And that was a great tackle by the large senior, 5'11", 241-pound Kyle Stanton. Not to be confused with the third-string quarterback for the Lions, Kyle Stanton. This is not the same player, in case you were wondering.
I'm certain that no one mixed that with a Bostwick is going to split out to the right side. A man will go in motion. That's Gutierrez. And they're going to pass in there intended for, let's see, number 33, Ryan Hewitt. Hewitt was hit just as he got the football, and it sprang loose in the end zone. And that will bring up now a fourth down situation, and it will be one more try for the Wolverines.
Yeah, and that was great coverage by Dan Treadwell. His motto is, do not tread on me. If you are going to catch the ball, I'm going to knock it out of your hands.
3:33 showing on the clock. Here we go, fourth and goal to go. The ball is going to be put down. It's going to be a field goal attempt kicked by number 11. That is Mastrantuno. It is going to be deflected by one of the Green Trojans. Goes up a little bit low and just goes under the bar. So the Waverly Wolverines not only lead in this ball game by a 20-0 score, they want to show some of the other plays that they could come up with.
Yeah, and it looks like on this play, Harry, that it was a holding penalty. Obviously, it's going to be declined based on the missed field goal, so Green is now going to have the ball at around their own 10-yard line. This is tough, tough field position for them.
So we have a situation where the Wolverines knocked at the door and were denied. Green would not open it.
Great defensive stop by Green. That's the kind of things they need to get on their Trojan horse and just ride.
Bad. Oh, man. Bad. So it is going to be Joe Beckwith pitching the ball back to, I want to say it's going to be Sierwinski. And the ball, it's going to be Carlin. Carlin is going to be crunched right about at the 15-yard line. A loss of about 3 on that play as it started from the 19.
Yeah, defensive stops have been Waverly's name today. I mean, they're doing a great job. Not even up front, but they swarm to the ball so well. Their whole team swarms to the ball, or even if it's pitched out, they can still get to it.
3:03, period number 3. And the ball is going to be into the hands of Beckwith. He whips around, does a complete 180, maybe 270, finally hands the ball off to the intended ball carrier. No gain on that play. Lots of motion going all laterally to the far side.
Yeah, and Dylan Gutierrez, great tackle on that, but what he did first is that he ran into a brick wall that was at least 100 pounds heavier than he was, but he stood his ground and made a great tackle.
For those of you just joining us, Waverly's Wolverines leading the Green Trojans 20-0 here with 2 minutes remaining in period number 3. Joe Beckwith and the Green Trojans, he's going to drop back. He wants to pass. He's going to have to scramble. He is getting lots of pressure. Finally, he intends the ball for number 15. That is Brett Ramsey right in front of the Green bench. And he is going to be crunched out of bounds. Nobody is going to be called for anything on that one.
Yeah, that was a tough passing situation, Harry. I mean, when you have third and 14 to go, I mean, everybody in the stadium knows you're passing. I saw a little baby down there who actually told me that they were going to pass the ball. So it's just a tough, tough situation offensively.
Two even on the clock. And it's going to be ready to kick it away. Looks to me like it will be Carlin. Ooh, no, it's going to be snapped back now to Isaiah Webb. Carlin just in there for... And we are going to have, let's see, we are going to say that Webb, I believe, his knee had touched the ground, and they're going to say that it actually is going to be Waverly taking over the ball inside the 5-yard line. Is that how you read it?
Yes, that is a really tough play. well, I mean, what happened was in high school and in college, and as soon as your knee touches the ground, the play is over. And I mean, it's one of those things where you don't really think about it. It just happens, Harry, and that was really, really unfortunate for Green.
So the Wolverine coach is right on that one saying, hey, wait a minute, that play should stop. So here we go. Look out. It's going to be into the hands of number 24, Dylan Gutierrez. Gets a little bit of running room, and he will get his second running touchdown, both of them short yardage. He had a 6-yarder earlier in the contest. Now he ends up with that one. We'll call it 4 yards. And that puts the Wolverines up by a 26-0 score.
Yeah, and he went in untouched. What great work by the Waverly offensive line on that play.
That coming in with 1:52 remaining here in period number 3. It is going to be Mastrantonio who tries to kick it up. And once again, the ball is going to be deflected by the Green Trojans. Somebody is getting in there, because that's how many, 3 or 4 kicks now that we have seen that have been blocked.
Exactly. And, you know, you could go a whole season without seeing one. So that's very exciting.
Man, I'm telling you, somebody for Green is going to have sore hands from batting those balls down. 26-0 is our score. Waverly over Green. You're listening to Football on a Saturday Afternoon on WCDO.
Special sponsors of the Green Trojan football team include the Green Branch of NBT Bank, the Silo Restaurant, Tidings Real Estate, the Root Funeral Home, Strankard Machine Shop, Gray & Sons Insurance Agency, the Green Office of Sydney Federal Credit Union, G&L Auto, and G&L Auto Supply, Thomas Real Estate Incorporated, Neville Law Office, the Trojan House Deli and Catering, the Raymond Corporation, Wrench's Village Auto, Nathaniel Green's Pub, Hilltop Building and Construction, and Partners Insurance and Financial Services. Go Trojans! The Tri-County Heartbeat is FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Jerry Graves and Matt Kaplan back here at Binghamton Alumni Stadium. Saturday afternoon Class C championship football game in Section 4. Right now, Waverly leading it by a 26-0 score. And it will be, once again, our buddy Jeff Mastrantonio, who's going to be kicking off. He raises his hand, approaches the football at the 40-yard line, and a low end-over-end kick. Son of a gun. That one rolls right around so evenly. We'll talk about that later. They hand the ball off in there from Sierwinski off to Carlin, who's going to try to carry it upfield. He cannot make the turn and cannot get up there. I don't know that I have ever seen a kick in football before where the ball hit and rolled, not end over end, rolled sideways
right,
as smoothly as it was like a lawn roller out there.
Yeah, it was a very interesting kick. I mean, I guess that's what he's trying to go for.
1:47, period number 3. So it's going to be Beckwith. Now he's going to have to scramble. He wanted to go ahead and pass that football. Couldn't find a man open. Finally, big number 5 tucks it under his own wing. Gets across the 30, gets to the 35, the 37 before he is finally tripped up. Give him about a 9-yard pickup on that, and it makes it 2nd and 1.
Yeah, Joe Beckwith, he's a sophomore, but he is a sophomore who can move. I mean, this kid is only 155 pounds, but he's also 5'10", and this kid has some jets.
I don't want to tell you, but when I was in high school, I couldn't get to 160, no matter how much I ate. Ball kept on the ground, and it is going to be a lot of white around the poor ball carrier, Keegan Sierwinski. No first down on that one, as he will be denied.
Well, then we had very different high school experience.
Now they're going to go ahead and, yeah, right. Remember, you get to be a farm boy growing up on meat and potatoes, and I could eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and still not gain weight. It was so frustrating. They're now going to call for a measurement as they will bring the chains in from the turf field, and I do believe they're probably going to get the first out. Whoa! Yes, they did, but only about by an inch or two. There was no football length to spare on that one. That chain came down literally just an inch or two behind the nose of that football. First down, Green. Long count. Now Beckwith is going to have to scamper with it. He's got a man open. He intends it down there for number 44. That is number 44. That's Mike Beckwith. We'll get the right one. So Joe Beckwith to Mike Beckwith. The ball going to be batted away, though, by the Waverly Wolverines.
And very interesting routes on that play, too, because Austin Bostwick was right next to Mike Beckwith. So I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was very interesting.
That's a good way of saying it. So it is going to be Whitaker off to the near side this time. Long count, and now it'll be whipping around and handing the ball off in there to number 44. That is Mike Beckwith, the junior, not able to get any running room at all. A yard, maybe at the most, yard pickup up to, we'll call it, the 39.
Yes, sir.
19 seconds, and this clock is running. They may just wait and go to the fourth down. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, it looks like they're just going to let it tick until 75 cents is up in this game.
So they come out to the line of scrimmage, 3-2-1, and they will let it be called from there. So we have the end of three complete periods of this ballgame, 26-0 Waverly over Green as our score. You're listening to your station for sports, WCDO.
Hi, this is Bill Thomas from Sydney Auto Body. Did you know that it's your choice? If you need auto body repair service, you choose who does the work on your vehicle. And I'm proud to say that for over 40 years, Sydney Auto Body has been a top choice by Tri-County area residents. We offer quality, reliable work performed by trained professionals. We use the most up-to-date frame and unibody measuring equipment and the DuPont paint mixing system. So remember, if you need auto body work, it's your choice. And I hope you'll choose Sydney Auto Body, 21 Union Street in beautiful downtown Sydney, 563-8200.
Quality Hardwoods in Twin Valley, just off Route 8 in Sydney, proudly take part in sponsoring local sports on WCDO and remind area fans to get out and cheer on your favorite teams. If you are a woodworker, contractor, or do-it-yourselfer, be sure to stop by Twin Valley, featuring quality hard and softwoods for flooring, stairs, cabinets, molding, and more. Every piece is hand-inspected and stored in a climate-controlled area. Visit Twin Valley's retail store, a division of Quality Hardwoods on Route 8, just a half a mile north of the Route 7 and 8 traffic light.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station, FM 101 and AM 1490, WCDO.
Terry Graves and Matt Kaplan here on the press box, high at the top of Binghamton's Alumni Stadium. Saturday afternoon football for you. Ooh, look out. It is going to be Green's Joe Beckwith who manages to fire that football right into the arms of number 55. That is John Pusalu. Pusalu manages to run it in, and we'll see if there are any flags on that play. If not, give Pusalu an interception and a touchdown. So we see that things change quickly, my friend.
Oh, yes, they do. And you know what, Harry? They always say if you're going to pick the ball off in the flats, chances are it's going to be a pick six. And that was just a great job robbing the route and getting to the ball before the wide receiver could.
So John Pusalo that time manages to pick one off, run it on in. 32-0 is our score right now. Certainly not anything that anybody expected. The kick is going to be up, and let's see. Now they say no good. So the PAT kick was off wide, and as a result, the score stays the Waverly Wolverines 32. The Green Trojans have been shut out so far in this ballgame. You're listening to WCDO.
Hi, welcome to Ice Cream World. What can I get you?
What flavors do you have?
I've got strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, cherry, bubblegum, chocolate.
With so many choices in life, it's good to have a little help, especially when it comes to insurance. At Meng Insurance Agency, we offer a choice of insurance companies and offer guidance to help you choose what's right for you.
You don't macadamia nut? No, you have vanilla.
What about something to drink?
Milk, chocolate, milk, skim milk.
Check out Meng Insurance so you can get the policy that's right for you at MengInsurance.com. Meng is proud to partner with Preferred Mutual Insurance Company, New Berlin, New York.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 at AM 1490 WCDO.
Terry Graves along with Matt Kaplan here on week number 10 of our WCDO football broadcast season. We are glad that you have bothered to join us today. We appreciate it very, very much. So 11:49, boy, that complexion of the ballgame changed in a hurry. It just adds to the score. But you talk about unexpected events. Ball will be gathered in by Jeff Carlin, and Carlin manages to get a little bit of running room this time. He took that ball back at about the 20-yard line, got ahead of steam, gets across the 30, across the 35, battles his way out to the 38 before he is finally stopped there.
And you know what, Harry, but aside from all the turnovers, Green starts their drives in terrific field position. I mean, any team at any level would love to start their drives at the 38-yard line. That would just be terrific.
So Beckwith now making the call. He's standing back at about the 34. He will pitch the ball back in there to Carlin, and Carlin is going to be gobbled up almost immediately by a white shirt.
And that white shirt was John Duvall, the senior, 6 foot tall, 210 pounds, and he just got right in the backfield to make the tackle on that play.
So he has been mentioned numerous times today. That's at least the third time, and I made mention of the fact before. I don't remember saying his name a week ago, but so be it.
Yes,
so
sir.
The playoffs come up next week. There will be the winner of this ballgame will be back again next week to take on the Section 3-4, excuse me, the Section 3 winner. Okay, pass attempted in there by Beckwith will not go. It's going to be batted away.
Now, Harry, since I've been working with you, I've been to a lot of high school stadia across upstate New York, and what I really like about this one is that as we can see the field, behind the field, there's just your average neighborhood.
Right.
You know, your average neighborhood with houses and that'd be so cool if you can just sit from your window, even if it's a bathroom. you could just sit from the window and watch high school football every weekend. That would be terrific.
It would be like being in the neighborhood of Wrigley Field in Chicago, because
right.
They say there that people can sit up on their roofs and watch the ball game. Dropping back is going to be Beckwith. Beckwith, sort of a lame duck, floated out toward midfield, and it's out of bounds at about the 48-yard line. That was not the best pass he has thrown all year long.
Even though Harry was incomplete on the field, it was complete to number 3, Lane Whitaker, who was on the sideline, who had a great catch on that one.
Yeah, no competition. That's what we say. The ball at the 30, well, we'll call it the 31, closer to the 30-and-a-half. It is going to bring up a fourth down situation and a kicking moment. Webb back to do the kicking. He'll be at his 19-yard line. The ball goes back to him, and once again, with that easy gait of his, he moves the ball up. It is going to bounce into number 2, his teammate in there. That is going to be Jeremy Floor. Floor had touched it about the 49 over in Waverly territory. He was more than content to let it roll a little bit farther because it was taking a big green roll, but all of a sudden it came back at him, and that's where he had to down it.
It's unpredictability, Harry. That's what makes this sport so fun.
So it will be Waverly taking over the ball one more time. It's amazing. Last year we ended up having a multiple week football season as it went into some of the playoff games. Doing the same this year. Oh, look out. The ball is going to be good run this time by number 28. That is going to be, let's see, that is going to be Nick Pusalu. That's the other of the two Pusalas. He gets running room this time and gets easily the first down as he will be down inside the 20-yard line. The ball put down at the 19.
And that was a 36-yard run by the other brother Pusalu. And, man, what a great run. I mean, we barely said his name all day, and he comes out and has just an absolutely terrific sprint right up the middle.
We make the assumption they're brothers. They may be, who knows, cousins. Maybe not even related, but we make that assumption. So this time it will be Dylan Gutierrez who will handle the football as they hand it off from Cooney to Gutierrez. He tries the left side of the line. He'll pick up about four as he is down now across the 15. And where will they put the ball down? Oh, give him about five as they're going to put it down at the 18.5. This football stadium, if you have not been here before, you can see it as you drive by on Interstate 81 or Route 17, whichever you prefer it to be. The two roads are sharing pavement at that point. I don't think that anybody is man enough to be able to kick it up onto the highway, but could be. Ball going to be carried in here by Gutierrez. Gutierrez not going to get any running room this time as he will manage to be stopped just about at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and Harry, right now, I mean, Waverly's doing the smart thing. They're playing very conservatively, keeping it on the ground right now. They really don't have to score.
Yeah.
They're up 30-0 with 9 minutes left. They don't have to score. So they don't want to get anybody hurt for next week.
I think the term that you use, that the clock is a member of your team. You just want it to go by quickly. Zach Cooney sends a man in motion. He hands off to that man in motion. That's Mastrantuno. Mastrantuno goes to the left side, then tries to cut upfield, and he is going to be stopped after he will gain a couple of yards. He gets down inside the 15 to about the 14, maybe the 13.
Excellent linebacker play on that one by Mike Beckwith, the 5'10", 186-pound junior, so he will be back next year.
Here's a fourth down situation. You think they're going to kick it again?
I don't know.
They're not going to try the field goal. No.
They don't want to get on the highway.
Yeah, you're right. Kicking toward the highway, as a matter of fact. So Cooney now cricks his knee, and now he's going to find a running hole and goes into the end zone. They will probably say he bounced once at about the 2-yard line. The official is right over there to say no touchdown on that one. But on that beautiful run, it was a case of we are off to the end zone. Cooney went right up the middle that time.
So that's crazy. I mean, Cooney, it appears that not only does he have a strong arm, he's got strong legs as well.
I'm certain that there's nobody in the team that holds that against him. It's going to be Hewitt split off to the left side this time. Cooney up on there. He's got it. First and goal to go from the 2. They try to keep it on the ground. Green puts up a big, solid defense, and nobody gets through that time. I think they'll say the line of scrimmage may have been a stretch of the imagination. No appreciable loss on the play.
Yeah, and that was a great, great push by the defensive line of Green. It's tough, man. When you line up with your feet in your own end zone, you just cannot let the other team in. And they did a great job on that play not letting him in.
We mentioned that the interior line for Green, pretty hefty. So here we go again. It is going to be Zach Cooney. This time it will be off to the near side. He's going to hand off in there to, come on, turn around here so I can see your number. I think that's going to be 44. Yep, it is. So it's going to be carried in there by Anthony Girolamo. So Girolamo. Anthony Girolamo manages to get a 2-yard run. So most of the runs that have been short have been by Gutierrez. This one by a different guy. And as a result, we have the score going up to 38-0 now. Not exactly what anybody would have anticipated. Kick is going to be up, and this time they say it is good. So the kick by Mastrantuno is going to cut the uprights, and we have a 39. Yep, they go ahead and change it. 39 to nothing score. I want to make sure I agree with the scoreboard. So here as we go down to the end of this ball game, we have 7:07 showing on the clock, and Waverly has a commanding lead. Saturday afternoon football here on WCDO.
This is Nancy from the Trackside Diner in Sydney, inviting you to come in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner 7 days a week. Whether you're in the mood for one of our daily specials, a great cup of coffee and conversation, or even breakfast in the middle of the day, the Trackside Diner is the place to be. And for your convenience, we also offer delivery for orders of $10 or more. So dine with us today at 88 Main Street, right next to the railroad tracks in Sydney, or give us a call at 563-3737.
FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO in Sydney, Bainbridge, and Unadilla.
Harry Graves and Matt Kaplan back here at Alumni Stadium, Binghamton, New York. Well, Mr. Matt, we have had two long passes. We have had three short runs. We have had an interception. So when you look at the scoring, they've mixed it up pretty effectively.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that this is a pretty good football team, Harry. And
yeah, right. I will tell you about that in just a second. The kick is going to be down. It'll bounce once at about the 25. It's going to be taken by Green at about the 20. They'll get back up across the 25, and then it is going to be brought down hard. The man bringing the ball up that time was... Come on, turn around, get out of your way. I'm pretty certain that was going to be Sirwinski. I mentioned earlier that, and I had not mentioned it in this contest, I mentioned it in some of the press releases that went out. When we looked at these two teams today, you had a very definite difference, and I guess maybe I don't have that note. Oh, yes, I do. Okay, here we go. So the ball will be kept on the ground, no appreciable gain, and it will be a, let's see, brought back line of scrimmage at 28, and I think that's about where they're going to say that it was. If we look at Green, they have a 9-0 record, 290 points for, while giving up 73. Look at the other one now. Waverly, 8-1 record, amassed 338 points and giving up only 48. You talk about stinginess. Whoa! And the loss came 28-7 to Shenango Valley. So 28 of the 48 that they gave up to one team.
In one team. So wow. So 20 points.
Pat Newell and I were talking about, they say these are the little factoids that sort of fascinate sportscasters, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, inside 6 minutes, 5:58, showing on the clock, and we have ourselves a third, and we'll call it about eight, the ball right at the 30-yard line. They're going to split Ramsey way out to the far side. Now he's ready to go. Backwith drops back. He's going to scramble. He wants to throw. He's got an intended receiver out there as he goes out intending it for Andy Walker. Andy Walker we had not seen previously. He is a junior, 6'4", 197 pounds. Ball goes incomplete. Walker actually that time was in a pretty sweet position.
Yeah, he was. He was very open, and, you know, even though you're down by so much, it doesn't matter. Those plays, they still count. The game is, clock is still ticking, and you still want to play hard for your coach and for your fans.
Fourth and about eight, Webb getting ready to kick. He'll be kicking from the 17-yard line. This time, end-over-end kick will hit at the 45 and take a big green bounce and go all the way down to the 30-and-a-half-yard line. So the green... Trojan defense comes out onto the field. Waverly has the ball midway in their own territory.
And I apologize, Harry, but this would be a great time right now to play all the kids especially all the seniors that that didn't necessarily get any playing time during the season, because, I mean, not only is it towards the end of the game, but also when you're playing football and you see all your friends, especially a field like this, when you see all your friends get to play on a turf field, there's just, it's so exciting playing in a different environment.
Yep, absolutely agree. So the Green Trojans, who do have the advantage, incidentally, if they have a turf field at home, they're about the only field that I can think of right now that has turf, and that is up in Shenango, Otsego, Delaware County. So we are going to be having a pause on the field as the Green Trojans call timeout. Coming up after this contest today, it will be another game between Walton. Walton coming up, and they will be taking on Tioga, and that's going to be a beautiful battle. That comes up at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on this very same field. We mentioned earlier there are three games going on here today. As we said, this was the first game of three. And then coming up at 3 o'clock, it will be Walton-Tioga, two unbeaten teams, 8-0 Walton against 70-0 Tioga for the D championship. Then at 7 o'clock this evening, the two hyphenated ones, Union Endicott and Maine Endwell, going at it. ME is 8-0 and UE 6-1. That will be the 7 o'clock contest this evening from this very same stadium. So 5:27 on the clock, and the ball is going to be turned over to the Waverly Wolverines. And we do have some new people in there now, and that means we're going to have to get to work most effectively. Carrying the ball will be Mark Connor. Connor, 6 feet tall, 205-pound junior. He wears number 25. He carries the ball for about a 3-yard gain. With a whole bunch of new people, you and I are going to have to be spotting names like you wouldn't believe, because they got, it looks like, all new players in there at this time. 4:50 showing on the clock. The man doing the quarterbacking now, I'm going to say, is number 23. I think that is Kyle Kuzma. We'll have to wait and see. Yep, it is. Kuzma is a junior, 5'11". His handoff will go for about the line of scrimmage, and that is it. So we'll see if we can find out all of the men that are in there. In the backfield is going to be Anthony Girolamo. We've talked about him a number of times. As we said, Kyle Kuzma, another junior, in there at quarterback right now. We'll pick up a couple of the others as they become evident. And let's see. Also in there, I see number 8. That's James Raynone. He had not been in the ball game previously. Ball is going to be kept on the ground. Quarterback keeper, ooh, look out, could be running room. He'll get to the 40 and the 45. And finally, Kuzma is going to be ridden out of bounds, but not until he is over in green territory. Now, he'll get down to about the 46-yard line before he is stopped there.
Oh, yeah, I also see in the game number 85, Tyler Hodge, a 5'9 junior. He's a wide receiver.
Good man. I'm glad you're picking these numbers up.
I do what you ask me to, Harry.
I can be looking at them so rapidly. So we made mention before, a large number of fans made the journey here from Green. It's not a bad distance down the road. Oh, look out. It's going to be a holding violation against the Green Trojans. That moves the ball down even more. As now Waverly will get it down inside the 30, we'll call it about the 35-yard line. 3:45 showing on the clock. As we mentioned before, reserve players in there. So Kyle Kuzma, 145-pound, 5'11 player, in at quarterback. And let's see, I believe we said Mark Connor was running back right next to him. We also had number 44, Girolamo, in there. This ball will be kept on the ground as they're going in there to Connor. Connor doesn't get a whole lot of running room, but he will be difficult to stop. He'll get about 5 yards as he gets down to the 30-yard line. Gain of about 6 on that play. So Waverly continues to roll as we approach the 3-minute mark.
Yeah, also in the game, Harry, one of my favorite names on the Waverly team, Dusty Mack, the 5'9", 160-pound senior.
Never argue that one. I can say that one. There are some that I have difficulty with. Here comes Kuzma again as he's going to go scrambling with a football. He'll go to the left side. Flags will fly. Somebody reached out and got a hand on him. We're down to 2:38. We'll see who they're going to discuss things with. But I do believe it's probably going to be against the Green Trojans. We'll see here in a second.
That's what it looks like. The field is littered with flags, so it was something obvious on the field level.
So two more games here today. That'll wrap things up here in Section 4. Then, as we said, next week, all of the games will be back here again, and they will be Section 3, which is the Syracuse area, that winter, against the Section 4. Then the week after that, the action will go up to the Syracuse area, and it'll be Central New York against Western New York, if we get simply speaking. And then the following weekend, the state championships held at the Carrier Dome, and that involves teams from all over New York State. 2:32 showing on the clock. That penalty was marched off against Waverly. So now we will end up having a second, and we'll call it 17. Kuzma cricks that leg, hands off to his running back coming through, and they're just going to gobble him up. No gain at all. Carrying the ball will be Mark Connor, the 6-foot, 205-pound running back. He is a reserve, probably felt he'd rather stay on the bench on that one. He was ridden back for a couple yards lost. Ball back to the 44-yard line. 1:54, clock still running. So the Waverly Wolverines getting an opportunity to get some of the reserve players a little bit more playing time. Kuzma sends a man in motion. He is going to hand off in there to Anthony Girolamo. Girolamo manages to turn the corner off on the right side, starts upfield, gets down to about the, we'll call it, 39-yard line. That's where the play will end right there. 1:17 left in the ball game. So we are going to have a fourth, and we'll call it about 15. And now we'll have to see if they're going to end up kicking the ball. Yep, it does look like they may try that. Chris Raupers is the kicker. He is a starting kicker. He's going to be kicking now. He'll kick a real elevator shot that goes way up, not very far down the field. It's going to hit at about the 25 and will roll out of bounds there. So now we are inside 50 seconds, and we approach the end of this ball game. It has been absolutely my pleasure to bring the games to you again this year, everybody. And Mr. Kaplan, I appreciate you hanging in at the end of the season after Dave Keller ended up attending to family matters.
Well, I always agreed with Branch Rickey when he said luck is the residue of design. So it's because I know you, Harry, that I get to do things like this, and I absolutely love it.
50 seconds left here in this season for the Green Trojans. Ball is going to be snapped back to the quarterback. Long pass downfield, almost picked off in there by number 23, Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma managing to get between the ball and the ball receiver, the intended receiver that time, I believe, was number 42. That is going to be Mike Bogert for Green. And with that, Kuzma had his hands on it, wasn't able to hang out. He certainly would like to, I'm certain.
Oh, I'm sure. But Green, you know, this is a tough situation for them, especially for the seniors, but they're trying to go out with a bang. There's nothing wrong with that.
So handoff on the ground. It'll be in there, handed off to Trevor Parrish, the 5'8", 167-pound junior, rumbles forward. He will get across the 25 to about the 28-yard line and be stopped there. 25 seconds, the clock running. Could be the last play of the season right here. The cheerleaders across the way for Waverly have not stopped all game. 12, 9, 8. The clock is running down. Dropping back as reserve quarterback. That is going to be Brett Ramsey, the, as we said, reserve quarterback. He will pass the ball. That will stop the clock with 4.5 seconds remaining. And I was wrong. That was not the last play of the game. So I want to thank the fine folks at the Raymond Corporation, at the Trojan House Deli and Catering, and at Thomas Real Estate. All fine folks who have made these games possible this year. Also, the Green Office of Sydney Federal Credit Union. The offices around the greater Tri-County area. 4.5, ball snap back, passing play. Nope, it's going to be a scramble and a run. And with that, the ball will be fired away by Ramsey as he is going to be hit from behind and dropped down. So we have this game coming to an end. 39-0 is the score. As we have seen, the Waverly Wolverines advance to the regionals coming up next week. We'll be back with a recap coming up after this.
At NBT Bank, we think you're number one. For over 150 years, NBT Bank has been delivering the best in community banking. That commitment has resulted in some of the highest customer satisfaction ratings in the country. And it continues through our active support of every community we do business in. That's how we keep putting our customers first every single day. Visit nbtbank.com or call 800-NBT-BANK today. NBT Bank. Member FDIC.
Shop the catalog outlet stores of Unadilla, Oneonta, and North Norwich and save on everything for your home, including furniture for every room, mattresses by Spring Air, Eclipse, and American Bedding, tools, home decor, sports collectibles and decor, plus so much more. Gift certificates, financing, and delivery are all available. And the catalog outlet's casual, hassle-free atmosphere with good old customer service when you need it is a real treat. So shop the catalog outlet store nearest you, all open 7 days a week at Martin Brook and Railroad Street, Unadilla, 357 Chestnut Street, Oneonta, and on State Highway 12 in North Norwich, or go online to CatalogOutletOnline.com.
As your need for life insurance changes every day, so does your need for protection. And nobody can help you provide that protection like your local State Farm agent. You handle the tough questions in your life, let State Farm handle the tough ones about life insurance. For more information on life insurance in Sydney, visit State Farm agent Rose Smith today. Call 563-3533.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
Good afternoon again, everybody. Harry Graves along with Matt Kaplan back here at Binghamton's Alumni Stadium on a beautiful, cloudless, but cold Saturday afternoon. This is the first of a triple header here. We have a Class D game coming up at 3 o'clock between Walton and Tioga. And then it will be the Class A game coming up this evening at 6 o'clock. We have to vacate the premises rather quickly to make room for the crews that will be coming in a little bit later. On the field, they're having the presentation of awards. I didn't expect to see a shutout, but it doesn't shock me to see a really powerful Waverly win. They are impressive in the two outings that I've seen.
They are very, very impressive. Just every single aspect of the game of football, they are just so good. Offensively, defensively, special teams, they push, they shove, they throw, they run, they tackle. I don't know what this team can't do.
Don't overdo it there, lad.
I'm going to invite them over to paint my house. They could probably do that, too.
So this afternoon, it is going to be, the post-game show being brought to you by the fine folks at NBT Bank, serving the community for over 150 years and always putting the customers first every single day. NBT, member FDIC. Offensively, what do we have for a standout today?
Offensively, definitely I'm going to go with the offensive line of the Waverly Wolverines. You know, it's tough because they got it done on the ground. They got it done in the air. And why did that happen? Because they got a great push offense on the offensive line, and the quarterback got great protection from the offensive line, just doing a great job. Big boys pushing guys where they need to go.
And the postgame show being sponsored by the Catalog Outlet, your store for over 1,000 items for a good deal and a good deal more. Shop the Catalog Outlet. Three locations to serve you, Unadilla, Oneonta, and on Route 12 in North Norwich. The dynamic defensive player.
And he was Mr. Dynamic today, John Duvall. He was flying around on defense, just making tackles in the backfield, just doing everything that he could do to make sure that Green didn't pound the ball on him.
So John Duvall of Waverly, 6 foot tall, 210 pound, he's a senior. Tip of the hat to him. Finally, the All-Purpose Award is being awarded by the Smith Agency, your local State Farm agent, Route 7, Riverside, Sydney. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call Rose Smith at Sydney, 563-3533. So the offensive, or excuse me, the all-purpose player.
And call Anthony Girolamo if you want a terrific football player. Both sides of the ball, man, he had a couple of touchdowns. He had more than that when it came to tackles. And on special teams, he was flying around all over the field. Anthony Girolamo can get it done.
So we made mention of the fact before that we will be having, this is the end of the season for us, week number 10. So we did get into playoff football again. And I thanked a whole bunch of people. I want to talk one more time about the guy that mans the meters for us and takes care of all of the technical problems back at the studio. Joe Gardner does a great job. Matt Kaplan, I appreciate you and your efforts. And, of course, broadcast partner Dave Keller, all of the sponsors, and I couldn't say more about all of the sponsors who make all of these games possible all year long. Win or lose, they support the local athletes. So it looks like we're going to have a few weeks off between now and the start of basketball season, but we always want to say to all of you, remember that high school sports are most fun when you enjoy them personally. You can sit by and listen to these radio broadcasts. It's our pleasure to bring them to you. But it's a whole lot better if you're out there being a fan. So for all of us, all of the sponsors and everybody else, I do appreciate our final score again, the Waverly Wolverines over the Green Trojans by a score of 39-0, a shutout for, I want to say, the miserly Wolverines. Remember, we said that they have only given up 48 points all season long, and they keep that going from here at Binghamton's Alumni Stadium one more time.
Yeah, and Harry, I mean, on behalf of myself and the entire community here, we want to thank you. This has been a terrific season, and there's no high school football without the voice of Harry Graves, so thank you very much.
You may be going a bit there, but so be it. Anyway, I thank you, and for everybody along the line, I'm Harry Graves. Next to me is Matt Kaplan. Good afternoon, everybody.